This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Leaves the pocket. He throws on the run and it's intercepted. Intercepted by Northern Colorado Frankie Morales. The safety turns the tide.
For Ross in the block. Ross to the pylon. Hello, new Colorado State. Lewis. End zone. Touchdown, Colorado. Hughes keeps it. Hughes has anchors. Touchdown, Wyoming.
Zarka, the give right up the middle, and how about a touchdown for Kemper Hodges from 4 yards out.
Shotgun snap to rush, looks left, throws left, ball deflected and intercepted outside the numbers and down the sideline. That is Karini Reed, who deflected the ball, and Jahdae Barron will walk into the end zone with a Denver touchdown.
Get me excited over here, Mike. We got Broncos football in a few days. Monday night football, that's the way to open the season. Welcome back to Football Friday and the whole show presented by Big City Roadhouse. There's your football headquarters. Stop by there, man. I was there yesterday, actually, and just looking around at all the TVs. They got the place just, it's a prime setup for your football watching endeavors. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Reading a couple of texts here. Faith texting in on the international games. The international stuff is too much, and the streaming platform's way too much. Took me forever to find the stupid game last night. Can we please just be on one account and stop with all the streaming and the playing all over the place?
No, they're not going to do that.
If so, keep it with the preseason. Yeah, it drives me nuts, man. The smart TVs now, too, they're too smart for their own good. Mike, I hate having to log into an app. And then I'm in that app, and I can't just press the recall button and watch whatever I was watching before. I have to exit the app, open up DirecTV. That takes a moment to load. Then I'm on DirecTV. Oh, it's halftime of that game. Crap, I'm going to go back to Netflix or whatever. And, oh, got to load. Got to load it again. Got to enter my password again. It's so stupid. Drives me insane.
I just use Fubo TV on my laptop. Yeah, I don't get to see as much detail, but I'm able to watch a game, and I can actually open a second window and have the two playing at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's annoying. Texter from the 970, John Fort, Friday picks. There you go. Now we're getting it.
Everybody knows that.
Michael, Jags already have two games in London back-to-back weeks. Maybe they can be the first NFL Europe again. Yeah,
I mean,
they love sending Jacksonville over there. They love sending them.
Well, that's because Jacksonville doesn't sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah. Big Hub talking, texting in. I missed this one. You'd be surprised how popular indoor football is in certain states. Eh, maybe. But it's not like an overall popular thing. Sorry, I missed that one, too. Hey, Ethan, long time no see, my friend. I missed it. I'm sorry. But shoot us a text now. We've got the text line open. Just a weird week, Mike. It's like I said, it's the Big Sky taking on a lot of the area teams that we focus on, which puts a little extra pressure on everybody. I mean, CU's riding high right now after that win over Georgia Tech. They're probably going to run the football and run it a lot. And when you think they're going to pass it, they should probably run it. I just don't know how I feel at this stage about Julian Lewis. I mean, he's young. He looks pretty raw. He looked pretty raw against Georgia Tech. He did make the throw. Brendan Marion was talking about Julian Lewis. We just have to get it in his mindset that every possession is like the final possession of the Georgia Tech game. Because when we needed it most, he showed up. Maybe. But Mike, when you have four dudes that can run the ball, like the Buffs do, Damian Henderson, Micah Welch, Jaquale Smith, and DeKalen Taylor, who had a really big run late in that game, why go away from it? They ran for 183 yards compared to Georgia Tech's 51. So they're riding high. They can't afford to have any kind of a stumble against Weber State. And I don't think Weber State's, that quarterback is, I don't think he's playing this weekend, so that bodes well for CU. So I would imagine CU handles their business. Which team's more likely to drop a game to one of these Big Sky opponents this weekend? Is it Wyoming? It's gotta be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I think UNC's a lot better than people get, talking about. Not nationally. They're not getting national talk. But I still believe, even if the Bears get smoked this weekend, I still think they're on that right path. You just, when do we start seeing the wins hit for the Bears? That's a tough one. But yeah, I would imagine you're right. Of all the teams going up against Big Sky schools, it certainly feels like Wyoming has the biggest chance to be upset this weekend. Go Poke says CSU. They've now got film out. I don't know, man. They have film of a bunch of dudes though. Like that was the thing Jim Mora talked about in his press conference on Monday, Michael, was now you got guys planning for RJ Vic. They have a bunch of different guys that are going to catch passes and be a part of this offense. So I still think it's Wyoming. But Go Pokes, in the same breath, you're also saying that pressure is really on, and you're not, let me ask you just directly, regardless of what happened Saturday, are you out on Jay Sovell? Is that the feeling amongst Wyomans? Is that right? Is that how you say it?
That sounds right.
Wyomans? Are we out on Jay Sovell? Craig Bowles looking pretty good right about now. I think Cowboys fans were ready to move on from Craig Bowles, even though they were pretty good for the most part. They weren't good. They weren't competing for Mountain West Conference championships. And that was the whole idea behind Wyoming, was that, hey, we can run the ball, we can play great defense. But by the time we get to toward the end of the season, teams just put that emphasis on stopping the run. And if you can do that, you take Wyoming out of a football game. Jay Sovell was supposed to change that.
This kind of reminds me of this attitude of we need to win better. Kind of reminds me of Nebraska, how they had a coach that kept going 9-3, mm-hmm. and that was unacceptable. Understandable. So fired him and haven't had anyone that can give him a good quality season yet.
You don't know what you got till it's gone, Mike.
Yeah, and this was, they fired him like, maybe 15 years ago, maybe longer than that.
It kind of reminds me of, I know it's a football Friday here, but the Denver Nuggets, Mike. Remember George Karl? They go to the playoffs every year. They never miss the playoffs with George Karl as a coach. And finally, it was like, hey, we can't get past the first round. So they moved on, hired Brian Shaw, and that was a train wreck. And then that led them to Michael Malone, and then they got a championship out of it. Go Poke says, no, I'm definitely not out on Jay. I'm also in the far, far, far minority. Jay knows exactly where he's at, I believe. It's tough. Because I want to pick Wyoming to handle their business. Because we've had Jay Sovell on the show before. I like Jay. But it is what it is. You know, if this team can't start to figure it out, then you have no choice but to move on. Go Poke saying the Wyoming AD failed. Lack of money is the problem. Well, how do you get more money? Like, that's a... Wyoming football's pretty big. Basketball, that's a different story. But how do you get more people to invest in the program so you can compete on a regular basis in this new world of college athletics? That's a key point, man. Smitty texting, and Bull had a losing record in the Mount West Conference. And Sauvelle makes the Wyoming folks wish they had that level of success. Did he have a losing record in the Mountain West Conference? I just know they were typically like somewhat relevant through the first 2 months of football. And then something just happens and they're not in the mix. But they're certainly hoping to this weekend. Mike, the last time UNC played Wyoming, Cowboys won 33-10. That was under Ed McCaffrey, believe it or not. And I remember that game specifically because I picked Wyoming to cover whatever the monstrous spread was. I don't remember what it was. I don't even remember if we nailed that one. 33-10 probably covered that one, Mike, so long ago. That was Dylan McCaffrey as the quarterback. He went 3 of 8 for 35 yards. You remember Jacob Sermon was on that team, Michael. I think McCaffrey went out, and Sermon, did he get hurt? Or did they? I don't think Ed pulled him, did he? That was Andrew Peasley on the other side for Wyoming. They had Titus Swen, who had 15 carries for 76 yards. That was, I think a lot of people were excited about UNC, even though they lost to 33-10. And that quickly went away because then the Bears weren't competitive the rest of the way, Michael, which ultimately led to, because that was Ed's last season. He only had, what did he have? He was there 3 years, but had 2 seasons. Is that right? Because they didn't play in COVID. UNC chose not to play at all because it was going to be the shortened season. And I think they just decided, let's not spend the money. Let's not worry about playing football this year. I can't remember if that was a conference thing or not. Was that a Big Sky conference thing or was that an individual team decision?
I thought it was just a UNC thing.
I think it was. And that scared me for the program because I thought, oh, they're just going to phone it in when everybody else in the country is going to try to make something of this. What does that mean for the future of their program? And then they move on from Ed McCaffrey or they mutually agree to separate and then they hire Ed Lamb. And they did not win a game in Ed Lamb's first year. Yet the belief was still kind of there for diehards. Now I think people are paying attention to the Bears a little bit more. That's how powerful that CSU game was last year. Because, Mike, I got Rams fans that are suddenly interested in what Wyoming's doing.
Yeah, we have a lot of Rams fans who are, you know, admitting that UNC won that game. The interest has to be a lot higher this year. Like, Jim Mora comes, and you're like, hey, this is a big guy.
Then
you have that big win. Regardless of how good or bad Wyoming is, the interest just went up significantly.
I will say, if I'm CSU, I'm getting annoyed of all the Bears fans still bringing that up.
We've had some listeners who are CSU guys say, yeah, UNC won.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I don't think they'd pull that off this week if they played CSU this weekend, do you?
No,
I don't think so. I think CSU's a lot better.
I'm reevaluating my 5-win.
I am
season.
Too. I am too.
Right now, I'm giving them 6-6.
Now, I figured they'd be. Obviously, I made my pick. I covered that one, nailed it. 3-2 in the picks, by the way, Mike. Over 500. You're welcome.
Everybody knows that.
And they covered against Wyoming, so I did obviously had them winning that game. Now I'm going to have them win this game against Southern Utah this weekend. I don't know if I have them covering the spread. These are all the questions, really, is do they cover or not? I can't just do what you do, Michael. I can't just say they're going to win or they're going to lose. We got to pay attention to the spreads.
I don't like the betting.
Well, yeah, but it's easy to just say CSU is going to beat Southern Utah. Way to go out on a limb. You gotta decide whether, because if you just placed a bet on that, you're not pulling back much. That's why you got to look at the spreads. That's what we do here on the whole show. Most interesting game this weekend. Is it North Dakota State Air Force or is it Wyoming and UNC?
Wyoming, UNC, especially since it's the area. But I think the other one is not going to be as big of a win.
The fact that Air Force is a dog in this game is crazy to me. I don't know. I'm excited about North Dakota State being in the Mountain West, getting their shot. But this is in Colorado Springs against an Air Force team. When they're down, they're not down much. Now, this spread Is this right opened up with North Dakota State being a – does that even seem real? Opened at 6.5-point favorites, and now they're a 1.5-point favorite. What is that? Derbs has got to have an answer on. Maybe we'll find out on Rocky Mountain kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock today.
I think that a lot of people saw that spread and said, oh, that's BS.
I'm shocked that Air Force is a dog. I really am. But that one's really intriguing to me. Probably the least intriguing has got to be CU Weber State. I think, you know why I'm more intrigued in CSU against Southern Utah? Because they struggle against FCS teams and teams they're supposed to smoke. Is it really different with Jim Mora? And boy, Rams Weekly yesterday was fascinating. And after the show, Kevin and I were talking. Everything is different over there. Like, Mike, we're planning to get players on, and I'm sure we'll catch up with Coach at some point, but it's not as easy to get players as it used to be. You know what I was told last year? It was more of, hey, we got to sync up the show with their schedule, with the player schedule. Now it's like, hey, we need week's notice before you get these guys on. That's got to go through Jim Mora's channels to make sure, because they want their message to be consistent. I mean, Lytle's telling me even when they're pulling guys off the field at practice, and I can't go to practice this year because they wrap up at 10:30. I don't even know if practices are open this year for media yet. I don't think they are, actually. But I can't be out there at 10:30, Mike, because we got a program to do. But Lytle's telling me, like, even pulling guys off to interview them, they have to be in a certain area that's an approved certain area with the backdrop behind them and all this stuff, which I get. Part of me absolutely loves that. The media side of me hates it because the availability is not what it used to be. But if I'm a fan, heck yeah, this coach is not like everything. It's kind of like Sean Payton. Everything. They're paying attention to everything. And they are syncing up everybody. So the message is the same. I mean, we didn't. And this isn't like a bad thing. They didn't want us to interview quarterbacks so leading into the season. Mike, why? Because Jim Mora wasn't telling anybody who the starting quarterback was. If I interview somebody, what's that look like? Oh, that's the guy. They should have had me have Kayson Farrar on. Then that really would have thrown Wyoming for a loop. 22 minutes after the hour, I want to shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. We still got a few hot days ahead of us here, but pretty soon you're going to be thinking about the heater situation. And if your heater was maybe on its last leg, was sputtering toward the end of winter last year, call Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. We'll take a short break here. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we got Brian Howell's going to join us. And then we're going to get into Buffs talk, but also more Broncos Chiefs stuff coming up here in this hour. Keys to success for the Broncos. Here's a name to think about, Mike. Not Jaylen Waddle, not Cortland Sutton, but Pat Bryant. We'll get into it. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310KFK.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
On the Broncos-Chiefs game, I am actually, I know it's in Arrowhead, Mike, but I think they got the wrong team picked here to be the favorite in this one. I know where you're going to go, but Kansas City now a 2.5-point favorite. That's pretty much just the home thing, right? It's got to
be. Well, yeah. It's combination of home and combination of the history and Patrick Mahomes playing against the Broncos. But this is different.
Yeah, it's different. And again, we want to see – I want to see where Patrick Mahomes is at this point. No, Mike, he wasn't – the Chiefs weren't outstanding last year with him. And now you got a undrafted free agent starting at left tackle going up against Nick Bonito. That's a big storyline. That's a key storyline.
Guess they ignored that one.
I would imagine you're going to have to do things a little bit differently to try to contain Bonito. This could be a monster game for him. Or it could be a monster game for Jonah Ellis. If you put too much attention on Nick Bonito, Jonah Ellis is getting that start. And that's the guy that I have circled in this game that I'm really looking at because, you know, we got the Jonathan Cooper story. And they need Jonah Ellis. And we've been, what is this, his third year already, Mike? Out of Utah. He's been in the league a bit already. And we just really haven't seen much of him. But now getting his opportunity to start opposite side of Nick Bonito, that's going to be pretty interesting. On defense, it's pretty much everything looks perfect. Except for maybe the interior linebacker position. And then who's, you know, Jonah Ellis taking over for Cooper. But outside of that, Mike, you're returning everybody. You know, Riley Moss, Pat Surtain, Jaquan McMillan, great cornerbacks. And you got your safety, stud safeties, Talanoa Hufanga, who's a captain in just his second year with the Broncos, Brandon Jones, Nick Bonito, Zach Allen, DJ Jones, Malcolm Roach, that is a stacked defense right there. Can they keep it going for 3 years in a row? Again, I keep knocking on wood when I say this, but they're healthy again. They stayed healthy for the most part of last season, Mike. You know, you had Alex Singleton go through what he went through last year. But for the most part, this team stayed healthy. That's half the battle. I have a lot of confidence that this defense is going to pick up right where they left off a season ago. And it's going to lead Vance Joseph to becoming a head coach next year, which is unfortunate, but that also means that your defense tore it up and you, yet again, this is one of the top five defenses, if not better, in the NFL. The questions really, they go over to the offensive side of the ball. I don't know if you have the J.K. Dobbins clip, Mike, but this one kind of scares me. I don't think they're going this route, but J.K., he did the pinky swear to the media, I'm not going to get hurt. He was kind of banged up in training camp and preseason, but then you hear all the chatter that, oh, he's injured. Very next day, he's out on the field trying to make a statement. Here's J.K. Dobbins, maybe a little tongue-in-cheek here, but here's the Broncos starting running back.
I'm ready for 100.
100 yards or 100 carries?
Carries. Okay. You know, but, you know, I'm ready for anything. You know, whatever coach wants, whatever it takes to win the game, that's how many carries I want, you know, so, yeah.
How do you not root for J.K. Dobbins? Like, that's the mentality. He loves being a Denver Bronco, and he's saying, hey, I don't care if I get 5 carries, if I get 100 carries, whatever they need. And I think if you're the Broncos, even if we see Davis Webb actually focus on a run game, you're not going to see J.K. Dobbins get the bulk. He'll get the bulk of the carries, but not by much. I think you're going to see Jonah Coleman in this game. I heard one national guy say halfway through the season, he's predicting that Jonah Coleman is the guy running the ball, like the starting running guy. I'm not going that far. Now, that's if J.K. gets hurt. But don't forget, man, R.J. Harvey, touchdown machine his rookie year. And that guy gets a lot of grief because I liked him. I don't know if he's the joker position or what, but that's something we're not talking about as much is the running back room for Denver. J.K. Dobbins was by far their best player halfway through the season until he got hurt. And I think R.J. Harvey's only going to get better. And Jonah Coleman, you know how excited I am about him. He's on my fantasy team, although that doesn't mean anything because my fantasy team is not very good and I feel like I'm going to be hosting it next year.
Well, I mean, you could host it in your yard. Don't you have a big yard?
We can host it in my house or wherever.
No, but it would be cool to host it outside.
You want us to be outside? We could do that, maybe.
I think that would be cool.
Okay, maybe.
And you can take pictures and tell me after.
I will do that. I think the running backs are going to be excellent for Denver if they focus on that. Because I don't want to put all this pressure. It's nothing to do with the ankle or anything. I think my prediction on Bo is still, like, he's a good quarterback. I don't know if he'll be a great quarterback. I don't know, Tanner's out there saying he's the next Tom Brady. But I'm not even close to saying that.
I'm closer to Tanner's opinion
than
your
opinion.
Well, of
course you are. You think J.K. Dobbins is going to be the next Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
Jonah Coleman? Next Terrell Davis?
Jonah Coleman, I think.
Yeah, there's your double whammy when it comes to fanboys, Jonah Coleman.
I mean, he's not only a Washington Husky, he's a Denver Bronco.
The guy that I think is going to get a lot of play in this game is Pat Bryant. Yeah, I know they bring in Jaylen Waddle, and Cortland Sutton is Mr. Reliable. But I think, and I don't know so much about the tight end situation, Evan Engram, a little worried about the tight end room. But I think Pat Bryan's going to be the benefactor of all this extra attention that's going to be placed on Jaylen Waddle and even Cortland Sutton. So that's one to look out for, man. Pat Bryant could have a big Monday Night Football game.
I think if you have all of your defensive backs, especially your safeties, worrying about the weapons we have in the passing game, that bodes well for the run game.
Yeah. Can this offense be good early is the question I have. Because we know what they did. They had a lot of exciting finishes, Mike, and Bo Nix did the opposite of what Drake May did on Wednesday night. And that was
collapse.
Lift up his level of play. Yeah, Drake May absolutely collapsed. One of the worst ending throws you could make. You have the tie right there, and you throw it into coverage. No, he did not have an open receiver. You throw that ball away, you kick the field goal, you live to fight another day. Now, there's no guarantee they make the field goal and it can end that way, but at least it's not on Drake May's shoulders.
Yeah, it's a close enough field goal, though.
Yeah, you would think they make it, but I've seen crazy things happen, Michael. I've seen extra points get knocked into a center's butt just recently. Instead of going up through the uprights, hits the center in the butt.
That's FCS, not NFL.
I know. You've seen, Broncos Chiefs have had those weird things happen when it comes to field goals and missed field goals and such. Bo's been pretty good against Kansas City, Mike. Sean Payton's been pretty good. Even though it wasn't his hump to get over, he's been pretty damn good against the Chiefs. Do the Chiefs have one? Do they still have it? Now, one of the big offseason stories, obviously bringing in running back Kenneth Walker, but also Eric Bieniemy coming back to Kansas City. And we know the really sad, tough situation that his family's going through right now. But he's been with this team. He rejoined the team back in training camp. Travis Kelce was talking about just how much of an impact that's going to make on this offense, is having Eric Bieniemy back. And you know, Mike, that place is going to be rocking. Weather might be weird, I'm hearing. Weather could be interesting. Kansas City's tired of hearing they're done. They're washed. They're not the team to beat in the AFC West anymore. It's not even the Broncos. It's the Broncos and the Chargers that are getting most of that talk. Can Kansas City, Andy Reid, one of, if not the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes, who is already a Hall of Famer, Mike. Yes, he is, guaranteed. Can he get it back? And how much of an emphasis will there be on Kenneth Walker in this game? Because, you know, all eyes are kind of still on the health of Mahomes and how he'll return from an ACL injury.
And he wasn't playing that well before.
He wasn't bad. He just wasn't. It wasn't the same Patrick Mahomes. They were frustrated last year. Their offense was frustrating. But how much of an impact will Kenneth Walker have, who is a very much sought after running back in the offseason? He ran for a little over 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns, but he was really good in the playoffs. And that was a big reason why the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. But that's kind of where you got to focus. You got to limit. Limiting his impact will be big for Denver. They can't let him go off in this game. And Vance Joseph, that front seven, along with Jonah Ellis, that's going to be a big task for them going forward. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. And this is a huge game early, Mike. I know it's game one, but so much talk around the Broncos has been, well, this schedule is much different than it was a season ago. Those first six games are monsters.
If in some bizarro world, which is not going to happen, they lose two of those six games, people are going to call the Broncos a fraud.
Two?
I'm sorry. If they go 2-4.
Oh, if they go 2-4?
In bizarro world.
100%. Yes. I mean, Jacksonville next weekend. The Rams, and I saw somebody post last night that's like, well, now suddenly the Rams game doesn't look as tough and the 49ers game looks really tough. Dude, throw it out. Throw it out. They played in Australia. Ain't nobody wanted to be there.
And one person like decided, oh, my team's going to come here a little late. They showed up late.
Dude, Myles Garrett looked like he had no interest in being there. Aaron Donald didn't even go. That was a big story for the Rams, and he didn't even go. He didn't even play. He didn't get on the plane. So, no, I'm not letting that deter my thoughts, my thinking that the Rams are still one of the teams to beat. I'm just not. There you go. That's your Australia thing. You went overseas and did that, and great. I'm not putting a lot of stock into that. The 49ers, I still think, are a pretty good team. So nothing has changed. Those first six weeks are very difficult for the Denver Broncos. And if you're 2-4 coming out of that, I don't think the season's dead because things ease up, but you're definitely not feeling the Super Bowl vibes or the return to the AFC Championship vibe that we've had all offseason.
I have three teams from that division going to the playoffs. And the Seahawks are going to be really hard to beat, but guess what? 49ers are good too. Rams, I have them going all the way to the Super Bowl.
You have the Rams.
Don't give up on the Rams.
No, I don't. Sean McVay didn't care about that game, and I should have thought about that more in the pick yesterday. Mistake on me, the impact of Melbourne, Australia. I should have let the fact that they arrived just 24 hours before kickoff be a thing in my brain, but I didn't, Mike. I thought this is going to be that good of a team where they're going to overcome all of that, and that just wasn't the case. Matt Stafford did not look right. He did not look good. Stetson Bennett he came in late in the game. The game was out of reach, so they're just like, yeah, let's be done here. Let's be done footballing. 39 minutes after the hour. Coming up, we've got Brian Howell going to join us. How serious are the Buffs taking this game against Weber State this weekend? Also, we got the picks coming up. I'm sitting at 3-2. This is it's a big opportunity, Michael. We want to start off on the right foot, put some distance between that 500 record mark. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do.
If only people knew what day the picks were on.
I think they know by now, Michael. They know by
now.
But
they can't see your shirt.
Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse, that's the place to go watch all the games. How about on Monday Night Football when the Broncos take on the Kansas City Chiefs? Fun, energetic vibe there at Big City Roadhouse, and they're doing deals on pints and margaritas and red beers all night long, every football day, man. That's the place to go. Big City Roadhouse, big city flavor, roadhouse comfort. I gotta say this, I'm as excited as the next guy about Drew Lock the other night, Mike. I root for the guy, I do. But then why is like Jared Stidham catching strays? People are like, oh man, that's what a backup quarterback should do. What Drew Lock and Seattle did to the Patriots, the very team that Jared Stidham struggled against. Did we forget about the weather of that game? That game was terrible.
He made a big mistake.
Yes, he made a mistake. So did Sean Payton in that game, though. Should have kicked field goal.
Yeah.
That play was that they rolled out to go for it. That was a dumb play call and a dumb decision.
I have full confidence in that guy. I have full confidence.
I still do, too.
He made that one mistake, but guess what?
They do.
It was huge pressure. That's the AFC Championship game. You've only played with the first team for a week. I've seen players make a mistake, a little different mistake, but like
Dude,
bad mistakes.
The game before that, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, Josh Allen, had a terrible game. And that fumble he had, he's holding it
up.
He's holding it out here like this, man. You could have grabbed that from him. You could have forced it.
That's a loaf of bread.
And he's a starting quarterback. He's an MVP quarterback, Michael. And he made a terrible mistake. I don't know why Stidham's still catching strays. Was it ideal? No. And everybody, if Bo Nix is in that game. Though it ain't changing the weather, Mike. The weather's still bad. And Bo's still not that guy yet. He might
Bo's
be, but he's not that guy yet. Yes, but not. Let's not
they
act like
won.
He's John Elway. Maybe.
Definitely.
Games played differently, too. Things change. So I hate going there. I haven't gone there. Do they have a better chance of winning with Bo Nix? Yes, he's your starting quarterback.
Bo Nix.
But I also think your preparation's different. New England's preparation's different. But this talk of like, well, Drew Lock did what Jarrett Stidham couldn't do. He basically played that entire game because Darnold went down early. I mean, come on, man. That was a blizzard game, and whoever was in the lead at that point is going to win the game. Go poke Stiddy for the city. Like, I wasn't one of those either. I wasn't like all in on Stiddy. Oh, my gosh, this is going to be great. This is going to be no problem. And Sean Payton was kind of coy about it. But I just didn't think it was as bad. The one mistake was terrible. That's going to be a play that lives forever in Broncos fans' minds. But we're acting like I'm sticking up for Drew Lock. I like the guy. I'm a big fan. But he makes those kind of mistakes, Mike. He could have cost him the game. He had two key penalties. He had the throw over the line of scrimmage, and then he had the delay of game that pushed him back 5 yards. Yeah, it would have been at the one. Could have just ran it in.
Anyone remember Raheem the Dream Moore and his play in the playoffs? Oops, the ball went over
my
head.
Yeah, and that was a seasoned safety that had been their starting safety. Texture 970 texting in. Brady, another big difference is Drew Lock just came off of 3 or 4 weeks of constant reps in the preseason. Yeah. And it's also not the AFC Championship. It's also not blizzarding. And yeah, he'd been playing. So, yeah, you miss me with that stuff, man. I don't think Jared Stidham's great. He's a backup quarterback for a reason, but he's fine. He's fine. I'm totally
comfortable.
That's
what you want your backup quarterback to be. You want your backup quarterback to be fine because he's almost never going to be a starting quarterback. There are very few times when you discover, oh, our backup quarterback is way better than our starter.
He's a backup for a reason. That's why I like the whole next man up thing. I get it. It sometimes works, but it's cliche. You have starters for a reason. Coming up next, Michael, we'll catch up with Brian Howell. We'll talk some Colorado Buffaloes. They got a big one this weekend. Also, Colorado State going up against Southern Utah. They got a quarterback that runs all over the place. Southern Utah back in the Big Sky Conference. More football talk here. Rocky Mountain kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock as well. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Football, volleyball, and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Nuggets insider Chris Dempsey, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
More football talk coming up. Big games this weekend that we're looking on, and we'll talk some Colorado Buffaloes next as well. Keep it here. It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.